Teaching, and it is learning from my brother and sister. Learning from my brother and sister. And this very much is about body ministry. This is very much what I'm going to talk about this morning, the church, its function. We're still really learning. You know, the mystery of the body of Christ certainly was a mystery under the old covenant, and we know that the apostle Paul started to bring out the revelation of the true body of Christ, and that it is a union, it is a mystery, it is like a marriage between a man and wife. There's still much to explore, to experience with the body of Christ. And I still don't fully believe that the full manifestation of the body is clearly seen until finally she's called away, she's married, and she is in glory. Then we will fully see the hand and the work of God, not only through Old Covenant, but through the new working, bringing forth this glorious bride who is to marry the bridegroom. And you and I, brothers and sisters, have a part of that, and we play a vital part. And this is why we're always saying that none of us are set into the body by mistake. We are vitally set together by the Spirit in unity, in oneness, to function. And more and more we're going to appreciate, understand this and experience this as time goes on. But there is a key factor in this that I think is really going to help, will be hopefully a deliverance, a healing, an understanding and a teaching, because I found that very little with regard to teaching about the body of Christ, there's not always much teaching with regard from learning from each other, from learning from our brother and sister. And that is one of the main reasons why we sit together in the body of Christ, so that we can learn from each other. That is, of course, if we are truly born again, we have that new nature, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're beginning to bear the fruit that we are to do. And we all of us know that we are work in progress. We are learning, we are overcoming, we're on a journey. But the point is that we can learn from each other. And it's not always necessarily great profound things that we can learn from one another. Sometimes they can be the most smallest minuscule thing that can actually really encourage one. And I want to bring these things out today as we're going to look at this. But firstly, let's turn to the scriptures, because the Bible does have much to say about this. For example, in Romans chapter 7, verses 4 to 6. Romans chapter 7 and verses 4 to 6. We say something here. Now, of course, this chapter is dealing where we are made free from the law. Mm-hmm. The law that doesn't bring peace, but bondage and condemnation. And we take it up in verse 4. And he says here, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. Now, isn't that interesting how the body of Christ has much to do in setting us free from bondage, from law, those things that condemn? You know, we hear many Christians say, well, I don't need to go to church, and, you know, I can walk just as well with the Lord and so forth. But what does it say here? Through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. That we should serve in the newness of the Spirit. Now, that speaks to me there of the importance of being set in to the body of Christ. If we are to fully come in this life, in our flesh, into that full experience that we're to have with Almighty God, that we serve in the newness of the Spirit. So that is the key. And that is why we're here. That is why we're here today, so that we are learning to serve in the newness of the Spirit, which is absolutely vital. Because we're told, aren't we, in Galatians 5:22, that we produce, by the new birth, by the Spirit, we produce the fruit of the Spirit, that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and so on. They are the fruits of the Spirit that we are to produce. That is an ongoing work, so that as God works with us and as he prunes us, so we bear even more fruit. And that fruit we can learn from each other. Maybe there's a brother or sister that's revealing a certain type of fruit, and suddenly you see it, or the Holy Spirit makes you sensitive to what he's doing through that sister or through that brother. And there's a reason for that, which we'll go on and look at later on. There's no point observing these things in the body of Christ if it's not going to change, it's not going to do something with me. But God gives us time, and praise his name, that we bear this fruit. Let's just look at some scriptures again to remind ourselves of this. In John 15, which of course speaks of the true vine, John 15 and verses 16 and 17, verses 16 and 17 of the Gospel of John, chapter 15, which says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Now, isn't that a lovely word there? Let's just stop. We know about the fact that he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. We know that, because we wouldn't be here if God didn't first love us and choose us. But he doesn't stop there. He uses another word and he says, I have actually appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. I have authorized, I've made it clear, I've got permission, I've got it from Almighty God, that he will bless this, that you not only have been chosen by me, but I have actually declared, appointed, given authority to you, that you will bear fruit. Isn't that wonderful? So we're all without excuse, that he's going to work that and is working that, and that your fruit should remain. And this is again something that what God does, whenever God does a work in your life and my life, it is always an eternal principle that will not only just be for this life, but also aiding you for eternal life as well. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So fruit, being appointed to bear that fruit, is very instrumental in your prayer, asking God. And not only does he stop there, but he reiterates again in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. So it's all motivated by love, love from the Father, love for each other, and this really is vital in your asking the Father in my name. He may give you. In other words, it may be answered. So look at these profound promises that are there. And all he asks of us is simply to believe. Don't question it. Don't look at your life. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at your history or what happened to you last week where you missed it a mile off or whatever it is. If you've repented, you've truly come before God, then the blood of the Lamb deals with it. He is saying today, now, this moment, consider what is being said there. And you have a choice whether to believe that and settle that or not. It's as simple as that. Because that's how you grow, brothers and sisters. Now, let's look also at Luke 13. Luke chapter 13. And we look at verses 6 to 9 of Luke 13. Verses 6 to 9. And this speaks of the parable of the fig tree. And listen to what Jesus says here. And he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, Lord, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why does it not? It's using up the ground. But he answered and said to him, Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut, and you can cut it down. Now we know that this is, in a sense, speaking about Israel. But I believe also it speaks about us. It speaks about the church. It speaks about what is going on in our life. And it also speaks of the mercy of God. When we're not bearing fruit as we should be, it's taking too long. But Jesus, the intercessor, the high priest says, just give one more season. Just give a chance. And thank God for that. Because I don't think maybe all of us would be here had it not been for that we would bear fruit. Isn't that a wonderful analogy? Let's look at some more scriptures here to so that we can really begin to understand what the scriptures are saying to us with regard to us learning from our brothers and sisters. Let's look now in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 4 and 5, because this is very applicable here. I know we know this well, but you can't really leave this out. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 4 and 5, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures, and so it goes on. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. But it's really those two verses that I want to speak of today that is important. So we come, what does it say, the nature that we are? What is it? It's, I know it's speaking in a sense metaphorically, but I love the words that it used. Coming as living what? Stones. Mm-hmm. So that gives us an indication, doesn't it? Hardness. That's what we are, hard, stubborn, rebellious. But look what God does with this stone. And yes, rejected indeed by men, because they don't like us, the world doesn't like us. I've got news for you, don't try befriend the world, because it'll be fake. It's just facial. If they know you're Christian, you're born again, you have the nature and heart of God in you, they don't like you, and it won't take long. So don't be fooled. But chosen by God and precious. There again, we're chosen. And you are precious. These stones. You also, as living stones, he says it again, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This body, and I can only speak now of this body, but this principle lies for other bodies, we are to offer up as a royal priesthood spiritual sacrifices. And those sacrifices must be accepted before God. Notice spiritually how it's done. That is the nature of the priesthood, offering up not only, of course, themselves, but also sacrificial in its function, its work, offering up, praying, interceding, supplicating, offering up our prayers for others, our family, our neighbor, our enemy, whatever it is. That's the nature of our calling. Praying also for one another, learning from one another, so that this is all acceptable, being offered up unto Almighty God. Vital. What does it say in verse 9? But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Hallelujah.
So we have a proclamation. We have a gospel. We have a message. We have a good news to a dying world. And that's what we should be motivated by, led by the Holy Spirit. Yes, we know that maybe a lot will reject. A lot won't want to listen. But that is our function. That is what we're to do. I have learnt sometimes through other ministers over the years when I was younger, coming in ministry and being trained. It didn't take me long to see in their ministry where their lot were rejecting what they were saying. Where they would go to a meeting and probably only a handful would turn up. God was teaching me something then way, way back. But I was learning from those men. You see? God was trying to get my attention. But unless you, if you don't walk humbly before God, you're not going to learn from that. But if you walk humbly before God, God is going to teach you many of these things. And he was showing me. See what's happening with them. See what I'm doing with them. See how loyal they are to the light that they have. That is the same calling on your life. And so when it started to happen, yes, it's a challenge, but it wasn't a shock. Because God was already teaching me through others. You see? It's all there if we're humble enough to want to learn. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. 1 to 7. Again, we know this so very well. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am a follower, elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, I know that that is speaking in many ways to a minister, to a pastor, to an elder, but we can still glean principles from that. That you likewise, what you learn, what you are taught, what you see, you likewise take that in your ministry, that principle to others, so that wherever God leads you, you don't control, you don't lord it over them. And if they're rejecting or they're showing opposition, whatever it is, you don't fight them back. You leave it with the Lord. You leave them with the Lord. You see, this is how we are to minister. We know that there is ministry today that tries to lord it over and does it in the most subtle way. I believe that this is something that the spirit of Jezebel does as well. In many ways, that spirit, that demon, not only seduces, but it has a control, a lording effect, and damages the body of Christ. And we know that the body of Christ is being delivered from that demon that has done so much damage through the centuries, you see. So we can glean these principles here, even though, of course, it may be just speaking to the shepherds who look after the flock. So what is my understanding then of the body of Christ? Am I humble in the presence of the body of Christ? Do I desire to come to these meetings in humility to learn? Now, we tend to think that we're going to learn just through the word. And indeed, we do. Because our meetings are like a schooling. But I believe there's a little bit more to our learning. And the humble will understand this. Because they will also see that in my learning today, in coming together in fellowship, in unity and oneness, I have the opportunity, if the Lord shows me and opens my eyes, to be able to maybe learn from my brother or my sister in some way or some form. You see, God wants us to serve the church. He wants us to serve this assembly. And not only to serve it, but to serve it with a passion, with a desire, a commitment. not just a drudge, not just another meeting, but that we serve it with our whole heart, with our whole being, the same. Because if we serve the Lord with that heart and passion, we will also serve his body the same, because it's of him. When I see you, I see him. When I communicate with you, I'm in many ways communicating with my Heavenly Father, because you have the Godhead in you. And so when we start to look at the body of Christ in this way, we begin to serve with that great passion, that commitment, that desire. We want to think the best for the body of Christ, the best for my brother and sister, whoever they are, whatever they're going through, or and so on. It should always, of course, be our desire that reconciliation is always achievable. This is why we don't give up. This is why we believe that there are those prodigal sons, that they will one day, when they burnt themselves out, they will come back. And indeed, we've seen it, and we will see it, because we serve this body with a love, with a passion, so that it's motivated by love. Why? Because it represents Jesus and his love for us. It's not hard to understand, but we know at times it can be a hard sometimes to achieve, because it is that sacrifice. It is that going that extra mile. And we know sometimes that we don't immediately just switch on to that. Sometimes it has to be a working with us, because that's how we are. That's what we're being brought out from. But love must serve this assembly, because that is Jesus. And that is why we're not to forsake our assembling unto him, as the scriptures tell us. Our assembling together in the body of Christ does far, far more than whatever we think or can imagine. It is so instrumental in preparing us for eternity. It is so vital for us through serving in the body of Christ, coming together as brothers and sisters in this unity and oneness. It is such a build-up. It so charges us. I've said many, many times, we're like those spiritual batteries. All batteries have to be recharged. That's the nature of a battery. And so likewise with us, you know, we have to be infilled. The Holy Spirit has to continue filling us with the fullness that we have. We have that fullness, but we experience that fullness each day like those rivers of living water, you see. We know that we need the Word, because we're shown also in Ephesians that the Word washes us, renews us, as we all need, of course, with our bodies to be washed, to be clean. So there are all these spiritual principles that we learn about. But we are to rise above what at times may be going on. There can be at times trials going on in the body of Christ. There can be times when it seems as though the enemy has really come in and is trying to attack. And we've experienced that. And we know what he's trying to do. He's trying to destroy this assembly and other assemblies who are going on with the Lord Jesus. He doesn't like this. And he makes it absolutely clear, in whatever way and form he can attack. He's only got to see a little chink, a little pot air, and he is in. Ain't no bones about it. He's there, as quick as lightning. And so, we're not to forsake our assembling. We've got to believe that God brings us to these meetings. And we know we're not a local assembly. We know that we are scattered around. But look how God provides. He will. You will always see God provide When you put the body first, you're assembling, you're coming together with him, with your brothers and sisters. You will see how God moves. He removes those obstacles. He casts those mountains into the sea to get us here for a vital purpose and a reason. Because we're to rise above at times what we may see, what we may hear, what we may feel, and so on. We are to support the weak. How often have you come to a meeting, oh, I'm so weak today. Or I've had my week, I can't even begin to describe it. And you come into the meeting, you're just about dragging your feet, you get in the chair, you know, and think, God, it's a miracle I'm here today. And then you start praising, worshipping God, and the next thing is, you know, you're taken up into the presence of God.
Amen.
And you think, you say, praise God, how I needed this meeting today. Yes, what this has done for me.
Mm.
That is telling us something.
Yeah.
And we're all like it. I've gone through it. I can't tell you sometimes where the last thing I want to do is stand behind a pulpit and preach. You don't know that, but God knows that. The enemy knows it, and Kim Page knows that. And yet when you start, praise God, there, he's faithful, the anointing's there, and the enemy didn't want you there, you see? Because this is supporting. I am here to support my brother, my sister. And if those are weak, then I'm here to support the weak, the same as you are as well.
Mm-hmm.
Your very presence, your very being in the body helps support the weak, helps support me as well. It's wonderful how God does this. But he does do it, I can assure you. And it's not only just to save my brother and sister, the weak, or to pluck them out of the fire. Yes, we are to do that at times. But we are all a support to each other. And you might be saying to yourself, well, I cannot think for one moment how I can be a support to anyone. I think I need supporting myself. No, you don't. The very fact you are here today is a sign you are supporting in one way or another. Let God be God. Don't try and get the intellect into this. Don't try and work it out, because you'll never understand it. It always goes against our thinking, our logic. But that's how God works. Well, let's look at some areas then to bring this down a little bit, to refine it a bit more. Let's look at some areas where, if we want to, we can learn from one another. It's if we want to. That's the question. The first thing that we learn from one another is that we desire to keep that contact open. Sometimes we can't always get to a meeting. Sometimes there are legitimate reasons. So are we sensitive? Do we desire to keep that contact with one another? Because it's important. We know principally that the early church met daily, breaking bread and so on. So they had a daily contact. We know that we can't always practically have that daily contact. We know that one. But it doesn't stop. We have a wonderful form of communication today with emails and phones and mobile phones, you name it, whatever it is. So there should be that desire to keep that contact. And as you see maybe a brother or sister who's really committed at making contact, and there are some here, they really go that extra mile to make that contact. I can't tell you how that has spoken to me. I thought, well, if they can do that, I can do that. Because they have the Lord in their life, and he's the same Lord in me. See, you can learn by those little things. We come to the meetings. We know that we have to travel. Well, we have cars. And so it's a blessing to be able to take others with one, so that it makes life easier, and if there's a spare seat, then you can take a brother or sister with you to that meeting as well. Again, I have learned over the years where we have gone places, or we've gone to meetings, and some have filled their car up or gone via just to pick up a brother and sister. That speaks to me, you see. Do I want to learn from that or not, you see? So there's so many, many ways that you can express your faith. You can act your faith. You can show the fruit of the Spirit, you see. And we know that there are gifts that God gives us. We spoke very much about the gifts. There, of course, are our natural gifts. They're gifts of the Spirit. There are gifts. There are things that we're good at, that God can use in our lives, that somebody else may not have that but have something else. And then, of course, we know that there are the 9 supernatural gifts that are given to believers, to those who desire, who want it, who seek God for it in their lives. Are you seeking God? You know, sometimes I hear or I see a brother or sister who steps out in faith, or steps out to prophesy, or whatever it is. That speaks to me. Now, if I see that manifestation happening with my brother and sister, that can happen to me to encourage and build the body of Christ. It's not about me getting all puffed up, oh, look at me, I've got a gift. No, if that's your attitude, then that's why it's not working. It works when I see what it does for the body in some way. And you'll be amazed what God can do. Maybe, you know, you stepped out in faith and you prophesied, and somebody comes up and says, thank you for that. I needed that today. I just needed to hear that, or whatever. You know, there's little things that can happen that just helps us to offer up that spiritual sacrifice that God is looking for from Full Gospel Assembly. Then we find now, because we're not any longer in the hall, so we come together in our homes, and yes, God's blessing it, and we have the opportunity to bring things to help make the meeting possible and the meeting a blessing. And whether we do bring something or we don't bring something, it doesn't matter. Because what is important is that you are there. But we always find that God's provision is always there every time we meet. Mm-hmm. God has never let us down. Mm-hmm. He's not. And I've had to learn from that, because sometimes I've got to be anxious, you know. I think, well, you know, I better bring a bit extra, you know. I better go out and buy this, that, because it might not. And I cannot tell you, I don't do it now. I've learned. But God, every time, has shown me, when I've done that, I take it back, because it was not needed. It was purchased unnecessarily. See? And I watch others who are very calm about, God will provide. Don't worry, Pastor. God will provide. See, I learn from that. I want to learn and have that simplicity of faith and trust that they're believing. And it's not just for that. It can be for healing. It can be for deliverance. It can be believing for finances or whatever it is. There's some that when you listen to them, they are at peace, God will provide, and everything. And yes, the Lord does. And I say, Lord, I want that. I need that in my life, because I've seen it functioning in my brother, my sister. So I know it works. Please, you don't deny. They're the things you ask for. That's what you ask for. And you know God will give it. He won't deny you, you see, because we can learn from our brothers and our sisters. You see? Not all of us have it all. And it's not right that one should all have it all. That's what leads to idolatry. We're all at the foot of the cross, and it's level for every one of us. That is what's so wonderful about all of this and the body of Christ. And so we see that there are those who bless. There are those that give. There are those that give financially. Never limit God. The widow's mite. You can never, ever outgive God. If you ever see a need, you've got your last fiver. If the Lord leads, then give it. And don't worry about it, because it will come. It will come. We have to be faithful in those things. The Bible says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. These are divine principles. God is bringing us to a place where you are not to take any thought about your finances. For God will provide. But I'm learning, and I see one or two, and I know they are trusting, they're having to believe, or I know they have gone through a difficult time recently, or the money has not been there in the natural, yet I watch them still giving. And you know what? I hear then a week later, or a testimony comes up, the Lord blessed us, you know, or I had a tax return, or whatever it is, and I think, Lord, I want to learn from that. You see, this is how we learn from one another. There's far more going on with us if we take the time to humble ourselves and to observe and watch. But it's the humility, it's humbling ourselves. And maybe God is going to get you to learn from someone who, you know, well, they're not like me. Well, no, they aren't like me. They're not intellectually like me. Well, no, they're not intellectually like you. You can raise up all these things and it'll come back to you. But God will say, I don't care what you think. I'm calling you to learn from that brother or to learn from that sister. See? Sometimes we talk too much. I talk too much. I don't draw breath sometimes. And God will say, have you listened to that brother? He has listened to the economy that comes out of his mouth. That speaks to me, see? Because that's the man or woman who bridles the tongue, the Bible tells me, that is a perfect man before God. And are we not to be perfect?
Mm-hmm.
See, I could just go on and on and on with this. Parents, you can learn how mother and father handle their children. If you're humble enough, you can see things that they're doing that is godly, that is right. And you can say, yes, I have need of that in my family. I have need of that with my child or children. If we're humble enough, we can see godly things that people, brothers and sisters, are doing with families, with children. That is how you learn, you see? If things go terribly wrong in Christian families, and they shouldn't do, it means that they were too proud and arrogant to learn from other brothers and sisters in the way disciplining, or the way husband treats his wife, or the wife treats the husband, and so on. We learn from each other. We know that the husband is to be head, he's to love his family, his wife, and you can learn from sisters who've learnt by the Spirit to submit in love. That can speak volumes to others to learn from, if we're humble enough. As I say, I can just go on and on and on with all of this. how to look after a home, how to keep a home running, and so on. Yes, I've learned a huge amount in that area from you, from brothers and sisters, learning how to just be practical in a way and yet trust the Lord. There's a number of things I have learned over the years. I thank God for my brothers and sisters. I thank God for the house of God, because I've learned things I didn't know otherwise. I mean, your parents can't teach you everything. They're human. So we can learn. This is the whole point that changes our lives, that makes our lives better, more fruitful, and so on. Because this is what we're talking about, bearing that fruit, you see. So that is what I believe the Lord laid on my heart today to exhort you with, is that we can learn in these areas. And if we really love the body of Christ and we want to serve it with a passion, then we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to so work this teaching in our hearts that it can be applied. Because it's a continuous, ongoing thing. You know, as we're growing and progressing in the Lord, so then what God is doing with a brother or sister, as they're maturing and growing, I can see further things. And I think, that's right. You know when you see something that is right. You know when you see the fruit of the Spirit, because it witnesses with your spirit. It shows you you have need of God working that in you. You see? That's how you grow. That's how you grow in ministry. This is how we grow in this assembly. This is how this assembly is going to rise up in these last days, because we've been humble, we have learnt, we've learnt from one another, because when we learn from one another, we're learning from what God has done. It all points back to Jesus. It's all part of seeking the kingdom. How God teaches us as a result of seeking the kingdom is amazing in many, many ways. And we can learn from outside. We can even learn from our enemies sometimes. That's humbling. That really is. And I've had to. I had my first introduction when I was saved, and I was not, what was it, 6 months, 3 months, something like that, when I was still back in the denomination. And I was seeing youngsters getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was hearing all about this and so forth. And I had a young 12-year-old come up to me and said, "Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" And I looked at him and I thought, "Well, who are you?" You know. And he said to me, "You ought to." And he walked off. But you know, I mean, you know, I'm one of the type of elders in the church. You know, that was my first introduction of learning. But you know what? That bugged me. It was like rubbing salt into a wound. I couldn't get it out of my head. And so I went before the Lord. I looked at the scriptures, and yes, it's all there. And the Lord said to me, "Well, are you going to listen to what he said? Because I've spoken through him." I was beginning to learn, you see. But God was humbling me at the same time. He was dealing with that arrogance, you see. And I chose to humble myself. And as a result, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Had I been arrogant and resisted that and think, "Well, who on earth does he think he is?" I probably to this day wouldn't have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm. We have to learn from one another. And God has a way. The scriptures tell us at times, sometimes we have in love to correct. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. We can get very indignant. Now, it doesn't mean to say that we all have a license to put everyone right. So let's keep everything balanced, okay? Because we've had prophets, we've had people come in this church over the years, think they have a right to put us right. They don't. Even the Apostle Paul never came with that spirit. He didn't. He always came in that fear and trembling. You see, so we know when love is in operation and how love works. And love is always patient, long-suffering, gentle, and so forth. These so-called prophets and teachers that came into this church years back, they proved they didn't have the fruit of the Spirit. Here today, gone tomorrow. And sadly, you see so much of that in the house of God. But God is doing a very, very deep work in all of us. And I see what he's doing in you, as he's doing it in me. I see that deep, deep work. And it's awesome what God does and is doing. You know? Because it's what's happening to you as well. And that helps one to be able to serve this body with a love and a passion and a commitment. Because the enemy's been trying to destroy this assembly, as he does. That's why I got us the other week to supplicate, to pray for this body, you see. And you might say to me, well, how does he know all of this? I don't always see this, whatever. Well, all due respect, just pray for me, because God's made me a shepherd over this church. And one of the things he's given me is a discernment, a vision, if you like, of foxes that are lurching around. Those that come in sheep's clothing and so on. I don't know how I know, I just know. It's there. And so I will always bring it out when I'm sensing we're under attack and the enemy's out to try and sift and destroy this body. You see? I do it for protection. I do it so that we can remain together in fellowship, in commitment, and so on. These are all our different functions and gifts. You have discernment, you see things differently to how I see. And so it can come out, whether in our prayers or whatever it would be, you see, so that we can go on, we can be preserved, we can be kept, we can be made ready for when the Lord Jesus comes to call us up. You know, it's wonderful what God is doing. And don't listen to anything otherwise. Don't listen to the negative. We know there are people out there who hate this assembly, who criticize it, and so on. You leave them with God. You do what God wants you to do. And that's all you are answerable for. You leave the rest for God in his mercy to deal with. I know why I'm here today. I don't need any scripture. I don't need anything to tell me should I or shouldn't be here today. I know where I should be. Because my heart tells me. What the Holy Spirit has put within me. Everything tells me this is where I belong. Amen. Learning from my brother and sister. That's what we've been discussing today. Heavenly Father, again, you have spoken life into our heart and spirit. You've shown us yet more of how we can grow in Jesus. And you are looking for fruit in these last days. We are here today to offer up sacrifice acceptable to you. We're here today because you said where two or three gathered together, there am I in the midst. We're here today to learn from your word, to learn from the Holy Spirit, and to learn from each other. We're here today to serve in whatever way or capacity I'm able to do for the glory of God. Lord, this is what it's about. It isn't difficult. The trouble is these things are far easier than we realize. We make it difficult. Father, continue to unravel these complications, the things that the enemy tries to put in our minds or circumstances or whatever. Let us come with that simplicity of faith to worship and praise the living God. And Lord, I thank you for our meeting today. I thank you for our brothers and sisters who have joined us online, that you will bless, preserve, and keep them also until we assemble again, because we ask this now in Jesus' name.
of Jesus I'll find security, and Jesus is.